This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Filmmaker Dante James says we have a distorted view of the Black Panthers. He hopes to frame their story in a truer perspective through a documentary film he's producing. James wants to take the Panthers back to their roots when they were called the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. He's making a film about Panthers co-founder Huey Newton. It's called The Story of Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party. Dante James is assistant director of the African Cultural Center at North Carolina State University. He joins us now. And joining us by phone is David Hilliard. He is a founding member, chief of staff, and a leader of the Black Panther Party. He also started the Huey P. Newton Foundation. Welcome to both of you. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good morning.
David, you approached Dante about making this film. Certainly been a lot written and produced on Huey Newton. What do you hope to achieve with this film?
Well, it's been over 20 years since Huey Newton's death, and it's really putting our party in perspective. There's probably more than 40 books that's been printed on our movement, more than any other organization that came out of that human civil rights era, including Martin Luther King's SCLC. But they're all very distorted, limited views of the Black Panther Party that's told by people who have these secondhand accounts from newspapers or personal stories. This is the true story of the Black Panther Party told by people who were its founding members. And, you know, it puts the Black Panther Party in its rightful place in history as being one of the most important organizations in the history of the human civil rights movement in America and in the world, because after all, we were in some 8 foreign countries, not just a local organization that started in Oakland, California in 1966. And by the way, the organization started out as the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense when we had this arm presentation by taking, you know, 12 or 13 people to the state's capital in California. But we dropped the self-defense posturing, and it was not just self-defense based in our own presentation, but self-defense against inadequate healthcare system, housing for people who were deprived of housing needs and food and shelter and education, et cetera, et cetera. So we were the Black Panther Party, and we dropped that whole self-defense posturing as some military organization that we've been frozen into from our inception.
Dante James, what are the misconceptions, do you think, in the popular view, and what does your film hope to do, and how would it change that?
Well, David touched on the most common perception, visual perception of the Black Panther Party is the footage of Bobby Seale and Little Bobby Hutton and several other Panthers when they were armed and went to the state legislature to protest gun control legislation. And first of all, they had a legal right to carry their arms. They did nothing against the law. And but that image, I think, is the image that is ingrained in terms of a visual image of the Panthers in the public consciousness. The images of the Black Panther Party feeding children with their free breakfast program, the image of food giveaways, the image of free clinics, and all of those things that were in service to the community are often just left off and left out of any discussion about the Black Panther Party.
So you've got quite a bit of new material to work from. Tell us about some of what you hope to use and put in this documentary.
Yeah. Well, first of all, David and I started talking about this, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. And having the opportunity to talk with David has been an enlightening and educational process. Because when it was formed, when major decisions were made, he was at the table. So in addition to that, those really enlightening conversations, David also was forward-thinking enough to start archiving materials. And he has every issue of the Black Panther Party newspaper that was ever published. He has hours of unseen footage. I think it's 9 hours of unseen footage. He has many, many hours of audio recordings that have never been heard. So in terms of our conceptual framework for the film, telling the story of the Black Panther Party from inside out, we have the materials to do that.
David, a number of people have approached you over the years about doing something, doing a film. You've turned them down. What was it about your conversations with Dante that changed your mind and allowed you to give him the go-ahead?
Well, we've never been interested in a Hollywood version of our movie, Black Panther Party, as a movie because we were not in the business of making movies. We were in the business of making revolution and changing society to address the basic needs of our people. So that was never our particular demand. If we did film, we wanted to make certain that it was done in a realistic documentary fashion. And so we started out working with people like American Documentary Film, Newsreel, where, you know, we had some control and were able to give a just and accurate reflection of our work in the community. The party wasn't a party unto itself. The party was one of the most successful organizations in the history of Black African-American struggle in this country because the Black Panther Party was a service to the people organization. And we're known for Breakfast for Children, but the fact of the matter is the African-American studies programs as they exist now under the rubric of Africana Studies, it's rooted in the Black Panther Party and Bobby Seale and Huey Newton in 1965 when they fought to get African-American studies, Afro-American studies, as a part of curriculum. That was engendered at San Francisco State with Higher Power. And those were Black Panther Party members that engendered that. So it's always been trendsetting. You talk about police community control or police community problems with racist police officers, where in many communities there were no Blacks on the police department. We were able to break down all of those segregated issues with police who never lived in the community, who came as night riders or marauders. So there's just a plethora of events and things that the Black Panther Party has done.
Well, David, I know
not even recognized and noticed.
You grew up with Huey Newton. Tell us a little bit about him and about his formation, how he came to become socially and politically conscious and help form this party.
Well, you know, we were these Southern kids. He's from Louisiana. I'm from Alabama. We both came here very young to California. But Huey Newton was involved in an organization called the Afro-American Association early on when he was at the City College where he met Bobby Seale. And out of that engendered the Black Panther Party. He was always involved in social change movement. The party came much later on out of that particular movement during the period of the anti-war movement. Malcolm X was a great influence on our Black Panther Party. As a matter of fact, we always saw ourselves as the highest personification of Malcolm X's ideals. So, you know, we picked up the banner that was left behind by Marcus Garvey, by W.B. Du Bois, in that posturing and revolutionary posturing with the NAACP. And we took the freedom struggles out of the Stokely Carmichaels and the Rap Browns and the James Foremans. Matter of fact, all of those people became members of our organization at the demise of SNCC. So, you know, we don't claim, you know, that we did anything original. We picked up the mantle that other people paid and left it behind, and we continue to struggle by other means.
Of course, the story of the Black Panthers is one, at least in the popular mind, that is surrounded in violence. At one point, Huey Newton was arrested in the shooting, the killing, in fact, of an Oakland police officer, John Fry.
No, he was arrested and accused of killing a police officer in Oakland. He wasn't arrested. He wasn't convicted or sentenced on any level of killing anybody. He had several trials and was eventually vindicated by the jury.
That's what I say. He was arrested. That's what I said. And this is you actually have a tape clip on your Kickstarter site. This is Huey Newton shortly after that arrest.
You're obviously in good spirits, Huey. Why?
Because I have the people behind me, and the people are my strength. I think that the court structure and the government is very low in spirit at this time, because they're realizing that as Che Guevara says, they're giants, but they have feet of clay because they're divorced from the people of the world. I have this strength, so therefore I'm very secure, and my spirit is very high, and I know that we'll have a victory.
And David, in fact, you took Huey Newton, who was injured in that shooting, to the hospital that day, didn't you?
Yes, me and my brother Junior, we took him and dumped him on the emergency room dock, and had saved his life. He would have died otherwise. But let me just tell for this listening public that that was only the first of the trials. Huey Newton was tried over 50 times. Four of those cases were death penalty cases. Huey Newton was tried in court over 50 times. 50 times when he got a jury of 12 people, he was vindicated. So, you know, when you make those statements, and most people do, they leave that out. That, yes, he was charged by the court system, and we like going to court because the court system for us was like a classroom, like being in college classrooms, because we exposed the system for how unjust it was in terms of its judicial system. So he went to court more than 50 times. Every time he got 12 jurors, he was vindicated.
Dante?
It's that kind of information that we'll bring to the public in terms of, again, our conceptual framework of telling the story of the Black Panther Party and Huey Newton from the inside out. As David referenced, all of the books and many of the films have miscast Huey and miscast the Black Panther Party and their engagement with the judicial system. But our film will correct many of those misperceptions.
Also underplayed the intellectual side of Huey Newton, who had a PhD. Is that going to be an important part of this film?
Yes, very much
Absolutely.
So. Very much so.
Absolutely.
And then the other part of it, and David can also speak to this, is the fact that the Black Panther Party required applicants, people who wanted to join, to participate in political education courses. Courses where they would study politics and economics and learn how to engage the system and what their legal rights were. That's another part of the Panther story that's little known, in addition to the fact that the Black Panther Party also established schools. So all of those misconceptions will be dealt with within the context of our film.
David Hilliard, we talked about education programs, health programs, feeding programs, all of them set up by the Black Panther Party. J. Edgar Hoover called the Black Panthers the most serious threat to American security in the United States. What do you think is behind that fear, the institutional fear that was expressed in that time about the Black Panther Party?
Well, I think that it shows very clearly that we must have done something right and that we were definitely on the right track. It was also done because it was a great way to spread fear and to increase the budget for domestic surveillance, not just on the Black Panther Party, but the black community, because we were a part of the black community. It was not about the Black Panther Party and the police. It was about the police and its attacks against black folks in communities across America. So we were a part of the communities, you know, that was under siege by the police. So, you know, J. Edgar Hoover, attacks against our movement was part and parcel an attack against black folks in their freedom struggles. Martin Luther King, W.E.B. Du Bois, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X. We were all targeted by the FBI's counterintelligence program.
Dante James, what's the timeline for this film, and when can we expect to see it?
Well, we are currently in an intense fundraising stage, and I would encourage listeners to go online to our site. It's kickstarter.com and make a contribution. We're trying to raise immediate funds so that I can go out to Oakland and David and I can go through all of the footage that he has amassed and get it cleaned up, digitized and secured, and catalog the newspapers and so forth to organize all these materials that we're going to need to actually tell this story. That's the first task. And then the long-range task is to raise resources from private sources, because we feel very strongly that this film has to be financed by private sources. We don't want to have the influence of corporations or foundations and their political agendas influence the content of the film. That's one of the problems why the Panthers have been misrepresented to this point, is because it's been under the influence of corporate and mainstream media, and they have their own agendas.
Dante and David, thank you both for being on the program today.
Thank you very much.
Dante James is a filmmaker and assistant director of the African Cultural Center at North Carolina State University. David Hilliard, founding member, chief of staff, and a leader of the Black Panther Party. He also started the Huey P. Newton Foundation. They're working on a film titled The Story of Huey P. Newton and the Black Panther Party. For more information, visit Kickstarter at www.kickstarter.com. Just want to remind you, next Tuesday we will be live in Greensboro at Triad Stage. You can be there as well. Send us an email at rsvp@wunc.org and let our staff know you want to be with us Tuesday, July 17th, Triad Stage in Greensboro. Hope to see you there. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.